Today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And then this evening at 6 p.m., we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And for those of you who have not received your All Souls envelopes, especially considering the weather last Sunday, they are available in the vestibule on the bookcase there. Please fill them out and return them by November 1st, All Saints Day. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King, and there will be a high mass at 9 a.m. next Sunday, and also benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And that is this feast instituted in the middle of the 20th century by Pope Pius XI is very important because, as will be explained on that day by the celebrant, but just briefly to prepare you for such a great feast. That is the particular day that we acknowledge our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as our King and our Savior. So He is King of the universe. He is King of the whole world. He's King of every nation. He is King of Holy Mother, the Church. He is the King and the ruler of our souls, each one of us. He is perfect, all-loving, always just, and the sooner and the more perfectly we acknowledge that, and every person acknowledges that, the holier we become, and also we have peace of heart, because we are only acknowledging, accepting, embracing the reality that God is our Creator. God created the human race directly, perfectly. We did not evolve from inanimate matter or from animals. That is abhorrent. We were made in God's image and likeness. So this feast is a perfect time for all of us to submit ourselves to our Lord, embrace Him, and as you may have noticed, and we always notice it, there's great joy and enthusiasm at that high mass. We always see that because I think everyone has the grace to participate in a more fervent way on that, on this great feast. And the thing is, it's on Sunday, so you don't have to make a special trip during the week. So that Mass is, as I said, at 9 a.m. There are some feasts this week. Today is the Feast of St. Hilarion and also St. Ursula and Companions. Tuesday, the 23rd, St. Anthony Mary Claret, who was a great missionary about 400 years ago, and especially to the people, poor people in Cuba, special patron of that country. But he also spent some time in what is now California, spreading the faith, teaching the faithful, administering the sacraments as a good and holy priest. Thursday, the 25th, is St. Isidore the Farm Laborer. patron of farmers and ranchers, people who live in the country. We just want to spend a little time on Wednesday's feast. That is the 24th, St. Raphael the Archangel. Now we all, most of us, in fact everyone here should be familiar with St. Michael the Archangel, the leader of the good angels. We've spoken about him before, and his feast has been celebrated for many, many centuries universally by the church. But St. Raphael, his feast this week, and then St. Gabriel celebrated the day before the Feast of the Annunciation in March. St. Gabriel and St. Raphael, their feasts were not extended to the universal church until like about 100 years ago by Pope Benedict the 15th. To remind the faithful of the great help of angels, guardian angels, the archangels. St. Raphael, and you may have read his story in the book of Tobias. It is a beautiful account. It's actually very easy to read of how God protects us through his angels, how Tobias and his son with the same name were led through many circumstances by St. Raphael the Archangel appearing as a man, a traveler, who assisted them, who cured their illnesses, who the younger Tobias wanted to marry this woman, and she was possessed of devils. She had devils living in her, possessing her soul and her body. And so St. Raphael cast out those devils. And also cured the blindness of them. And he concealed himself. Now it has been known throughout history of mankind and there are accounts in the chronicles of the church how people have a friend. Sometimes it's a boy, a young man. They appear as someone who's a very good associate or friend and to guide them. But they seem very ordinary. Not to frighten the soul, because if they appeared as they really are, it would make them fall down on their faces. And in fact, that's what happened to Tobias and his son Tobias when St. Raphael revealed himself, because these two men were so grateful to St. Raphael the Archangel for his help. What can we do to repay all you've done for us? And then he finally says, I am Raphael, one of the seven that stand before the face of God. And as soon as he said those words, they fell on their faces, and they were there for like a couple of hours because they were so terrified, in shock, by the greatness, by the power, by the love of this angel who was sent by God to help them. And the beautiful thing is each of us has a guardian angel that we can call upon that will help us in our ways. As it says in the scripture, lest we dash our foot against a stone. They will keep us from tripping, falling down. Obviously, any good thing that happens to us, any grace, all good comes from God. But he uses intercessors, especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, mediatrix of all graces. But he uses the saints to help us. And I just tell you that I've experienced it, I'm sure you have. At a particular moment in your daily duties or circumstances, you're reminded about something, some duty, something you have to do, or a spiritual exercise you have to perform, something important. Many times it is your guardian angel that is reminding you to do that. Because we are frail human beings, and God has mercy upon us to give us a daily, 24-hour-a-day helper who is next to us day and night, keeping us out of trouble and inspiring us to do good. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection until the day of Christ Jesus. And I have the right to feel so about you all, because I have you in my heart, all of you, alike in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, as sharers in my joy. For God is my witness, how I long for you all in the heart of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the better things, so that you may be upright and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 21. At that time, the Pharisees went and took counsel how they might trap Jesus in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art truthful, and that thou teachest the way of God in truth, and that thou carest not for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. So they offered him a denarius. Then Jesus said to them, Whose are this image and the inscription? They said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's epistle, we have St. Paul sending words of consolation and support to these people of Philippi. Now remember all the epistles that he sent. He had already been there to establish a see or a diocese. He converted these people and did not leave them unattended, taking care of the flock. So he'd send them a letter to encourage them. And he would say these things while he was in prison. He says in chains. So he had somebody, if he didn't write it himself with his own hand, he had dictating to somebody his words while he's in prison to encourage these people. Just an example of when we are down and out and feel discouraged and overwhelmed by circumstances or enemies, not to give in, not to despair, that it is just for a time, that trial, to test us, to see if we're going to ask our Lord for help in those circumstances. And so this is what he did. And that he reminds us, if God has begun a good work, he's not just going to leave it to fall apart. He will see to its completion, to its perfection. Well, most importantly, he's talking about each of us individually. He's given us the gift of faith, all the graces of the sacraments, all the knowledge of our faith, and we're not supposed to waste it. We're supposed to keep tending it to its perfection. As you've heard many times from this pulpit, either we're on the way up to heaven, becoming more holy, more perfect, or we're becoming worse, more sinful on our way to hell. That is just the reality. No person is just at one level state, so to speak. So if we see ourselves heading in the wrong direction, we have to take extreme measures. And so that is why he says these things. As it is right for me to think this for you and all, for that I have you in my heart, that in my bands and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. In this I pray that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere without offense unto the day of Christ. That means ultimately the last judgment, the day of Christ, the second coming. But someone may say, well, that could be years, centuries in the future. What am I to do for my life, especially the day I die? Well, remember the particular judgment we all face, everyone here. That is you could call it a mini day of judgment, day of Christ, because that is when everything will be exposed that we've done before God. That's why I cannot stress how important it is to pray for the grace of final perseverance. We recently updated the necrology. That's that plaque under the clock in the corner of the chapel there. That's all the deceased members from our chapel since, I believe, 1974. And as we were preparing it, I was looking at those names, and many of those funerals I assisted at or served the Mass, some of them I was the priest for. That was to have that necrology. That was our Father Superior's idea some years ago, that they wouldn't be forgotten. November's coming, month of the holy souls in purgatory. And their names there from years ago, their relatives have probably passed away also. Maybe their grandchildren are still alive, but they barely know them. We are the only ones maybe that remember them, to pray for them. And it's a sign, I think, of the fact that they are saved, maybe they're still in purgatory, that their names are there for us to remind us to pray for them. So you can do this. You can look at it after Mass. You can take your phone, take a picture of it, then you just have it there all the time and you can see those names on your phone. But that means you have to go to your car to get your phone right because you don't have it here. Well, make the effort when you get a chance. But he says at the end of this epistle, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Do any of you know a person that you can call sincere? I've met a few in my life that you think this person, you can also almost see into their soul that they are so transparent in a good sense, that goodness just comes right through them, right into your own soul. Because there's no ill will in the person. I'm not saying that they don't have imperfections or commit sins, but they're not an evil person. And you know what? You want to be around that person. You like to have them as part of your group of friends, or you want them to be, you want to work for them or have them as an employee because they're good. They don't have a personal agenda. And frankly, they're not being led by the devil. They're led by God. That is what St. Paul is reminding us to be, to have the sincerity of heart. Now, for the gospel. During these weeks, last weeks of October and weeks of November, in the divine office, the priests and the religious, they read from the books of Maccabees. Those are the last two books of the Bible. All about the zealous defenders of God's honor in the Old Testament, just a few centuries before the coming of Christ. And if you know anything about your world history, you know at this time, a few hundred years before Christ and then several centuries after Christ, the Roman Empire ruled everything. They were an unbelievable force in the history of the world, militarily, and just in terms of their ability to absorb nations and peoples. But this is the way they worked. Their mind was, they're just going to conquer whatever they want because they want taxes to collect to send back to Rome to fill the coffers of the Roman people, which were about, I think, almost 1 million people lived there. But they were also very intelligent because when they would conquer a people, they would give terms not to destroy the nation. If they don't want to go to war, we'll just take over your country peacefully, but now we're going to rule you. You can even have your sort of a governor, but you have to pay taxes, and we also will take some of your knowledge or technology, whatever you have, and we will use that to the benefit of our whole empire. So they took all sorts of ideas from the Persians and especially the Greeks in terms of knowledge and architecture. But they want that tax, they want that money. And as still is done today, there is an impression of an important person put on money, on coins and paper money. So the scene is insincere men approach our Lord He calls them hypocrites because they're trying to praise him with flattery and saying in words like this. We know that thou art truthful and thou teachest the way of God in truth, and that thou carest not for any man. You see how hypocritical that is, because they hated him. They're trying to trap him into incriminating himself in front of the people. And they're saying, you teach the way of God in truth. So if they're saying that he teaches the truth, why don't they follow the truth? Because they follow the father of lies, the devil. Our Lord's enemies followed the devil, and our enemies follow the devil. They hate the truth. They deny the truth. And so they take, after our Lord told them, bring me, or show me the coin of the tribute. And see, the Jews, according to the Mosaic law, were not allowed to use the money of pagans, of their oppressors. They had to exchange it for their own money. And that is why our Lord in the temple, when he saw on two occasions the temple, God's holy place, being used to exchange money, the money changers, he took a whip and started beating these people and overturned the tables and became very violent, showed passion and anger. The Son of God. This parenthetically shows that it is unnatural and wrong when people condemn others for showing anger, just anger and passion about something that is important. We see that a lot today. Oh, that person is unhinged or irrational or not stable because they got angry. Oh, really? Yet they show barbaric cruelty in their activity towards people who speak the truth. So when they give him the coin of the tribute, he makes them say, whose are this image and inscription? And they said to him, Caesar's. Of course, he's not defending Caesar or the Roman Empire or the governors, but he's saying, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Because we live in a human society, we follow the rules, the just laws of the society, and we pay taxes, as the people there did. We may complain about it, but that's the reality. But how about giving God what is due to him? Every April, middle of April, it is a big thing for everyone to finish his income taxes, get them paid, even to this day, long lines at the post office to get them with the postmark of the day. And what do those people, do they go to church? Do they go to Mass? Do they honor God with such care? No. St. Augustine has an analogy that each of us, each person, each human body and soul is the coin of God We're made in the image and likeness of God. So just by being a human being, we're stamped with God's image, and all the more so when we're baptized and given divine character, which changes our soul, makes us children of God for all eternity. So we already are on our way to heaven if we're baptized and if we receive the sacraments. We lead a good life. And that we are sincere. And then when we leave this chapel, we practice what has been preached to us. I'm changing the expression because the expression is practice what you preach. Don't ever preach. People hate that when someone tries to pontificate. You can explain, but let those in authority preach. Let the priest preach. Finally, and just as a reminder, in a few weeks, we have Election Day. And that means those who wish to vote can vote. It's not mandatory. It is voluntary. Some countries, it is mandatory. You have to vote, or else you are penalized. And unbelievably, there are many Catholic countries, Election Day, Voting Day is on Sunday. They have that activity on Sunday. If you decide to vote, remember, you cannot vote, pull the lever or fill in the box, whatever way it's done, for someone who is bent on overthrowing God's law. So you can't vote for someone who wants to and endorses murdering babies through the infanticide practice of abortion in hospitals and clinics throughout our country. You can't vote for them. Well, I don't know. How am I supposed to? Well, then don't vote for that. If you don't know for sure, then don't vote for that person. There are guides by certain groups who explain those positions. Well, there's one that's, he's against abortion most of the time, but in certain cases it's okay, and so he votes for that. And there's another one that's completely for abortion. Can I vote for the more conservative one? No, you cannot vote for somebody who wants to kill 1,000 babies instead of 1,000,000. What are you going to do on Judgment Day when you feign ignorance? And the thing is, you don't have to vote anyway for individuals if you don't know. We say that because clergy, pope, bishops, priests are not saying it, and we are going to say it. Don't help elect a person who is party to murder of innocent children, okay? Just as a reminder. In fact, if you know someone's for abortion, congressmen, senators, candidates who are for abortion, what are you going to say to God on Judgment Day when you showed favoritism towards these evil people? Those are the hypocrites of today. So we just remind you about your duty if you choose to vote that day. Because remember, to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but most importantly, render to God those things that belong to God. May God bless you.